93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey drop points again.
Vaughan gathers, can he get the shot away? Must be, it is! Omar Bogle! The work of Vaughan sets up Omar Bogle, and in his full debut, he's got the equaliser. Portsmouth 1, Doncaster 1.
That's 2-2 now for the latest Pompey recruit, which casted a little bit of shine on otherwise a very grey day at Fratton Park. I want your thoughts on that Doncaster game. Pompey now outside the automatic promotion places. Do you see our way up being via the playoffs? We'll also want to hear from you. Does Kenny Jackett have a Pompey identity? Have you seen a Kenny Jackett style of football? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Also, get your texts, your tweets, your emails in all the normal ways, not just on this game on Saturday. We'll also be looking forward to the match against QPR. Wayne Harris, Jacob Wade alongside me, ready as ever to delve into your Blues views. I hope you're sitting ready. Get your texts into us. A very good evening wherever you're listening to us. And welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening wherever you're listening to us, and welcome to another edition of the Monday Night Football Hour with myself, James Robbins. 93.7 Express FM, the place to be between 6 and 7 every Monday, Thursday and Friday evening. This show, of course, being driven to you as ever by Stagecoach Buses. Night Rider ticket for unlimited travel after 7 p.m. for £2.50, valid across the whole of the South Coast. So as I said at the top of the show, there is plenty for you to get involved in tonight's show. I think arguably that's 2 points dropped for the Blues. Are you happy they've stopped the rot? Is it now time to get some wholesale changes into that side of their players, which you think deserve to be given a break and bring in some fresh blood? We'll also be talking identities, as that's been the big story today on Monday. I raised the question last year on Pompey Live. I didn't think I saw a side with any identity. Fast forward a year, I don't think I do now, but I don't know, I could be wrong. Would love to hear what you think. Start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com. You can tweet us by using @ExpressFM. Wayne Harris, Jacob Wade alongside me, ready to get into it. But before we hear the first of their views, following the full-time whistle, Pompey Live's Jamie Spencer caught up with the gaffer, Kenny Jackett.
Jamie Spencer with Pompey manager Kenny Jackett. Kenny, you've stopped the rot of defeats today with a point at home against a capable Doncaster side. Give us your thoughts on today's game.
Yeah, we had a lot of pressure on them right the way through the game, really, and, you know, particularly in the second half, but, you know, first 30 minutes, got caught with a sucker punch with a break from our own free kick, which, you know, maybe the substitution just looked like it disrupted us a little bit, centre back stroke goalkeeper on that one, and Wilkes didn't need, you know, a second invitation. His pace was too much for us, and, you know, it shouldn't, on a substitution like that, it shouldn't, you know, detail shouldn't cost us, but, you know, fine details define games. Second half anyway, we put again a lot of pressure, got some real tempo to our play, and sort of big chances, both wide men, Christian Burgess and Clark, from a considerable amount of set pieces. But, you know, along with a goal from Omar Bogle, which got us back into the game, and we couldn't go on and find that cutting edge.
Did you need to say much to the guys at half-time? Obviously, with three defeats on the bounce in the league and then 1-0 down at half-time. What was your message to the players?
Try to encourage the players, give them clear instruction, because, you know, players all want to do well as well. Obviously, the injury to Watmore, and then the injury to Donoghue, you know, at, it came off after 45 minutes. were you know, just changed things for us slightly tactically, and with the substitutions coming on, that was, you know, the main theme in terms of the 15-minute break.
And Bogle getting his second goal in two games there. Confidence from him is probably everything at the moment, and you need him to go on one of those ones that keeps him in the side and keeps a very competitive now strike force busy.
We hope so. We want it to be competitive. We want good options off the bench. He was cramping up in the second half, both calves. I don't think it's an injury. Hopefully he's clear and okay. He hasn't played 90 minutes for quite some time, and as I said, you can see that at times in the second half, but he'll keep working, he'll keep getting match fit, and has looked a threat for us, and it's good to see him score two in two in any case. When you're a striker, getting goals at a new club can encourage you.
It certainly can, and hopefully plenty more to come from Omar Bogle. So that was the thoughts there of Kenny Jack. It would also have the highlights. If there's anything you want to agree, disagree, or anything in between, you can do so. Get involved. Start your text message with the word Express. Send that to 81400. Email studio@expressfm.com. You can tweet us at ExpressFM. There are all the ways to get in touch. But let's hear from the gentleman in the studio. It's a very good evening to Wei Harris and Jacob Wade. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Wayne, let's start with you. When I met you in the lobby downstairs, and I thought, oh, you know, how do you think they played? And you said, actually, I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, the first half hour, we created a lot of chances, and it was kind of going over from the Luton second half. And before they scored, we could have scored one or two. Bogle had a chance and putting some quality balls in. But the goal went in, and our heads just seemed to have dropped. And it's been the pattern of the season, really. We've gone a goal down, and we've struggled to get back into the game.
Jacob, what is your thoughts on the game?
Overall, I thought it was quite a flat game, to be honest. I don't like to be negative, but when we were on the attack, we didn't really vary up our play or our style. It was always the same long ball again. And, you know, Curtis and Lowe trying to take it down the line. I think Doncaster read that, and then they were a threat on the break, as we saw with the goal.
Interesting style of play identity. We'll get to that in the next part of the show. The first goal, gentlemen. It was... Unfortunately for Christian Burgess, he probably needed a couple more minutes to get back into the game.
I think Christian's a bit of a scapegoat, isn't he? But if you look at a replay of the goal, it wasn't just Burgess who was at fault, it was Craig as well. But I can probably count on one hand, or struggle to count on one hand, the mistakes that Craig's made this season. So naturally it's Christian Burgess who's been made a scapegoat again. But is he a League One player? Christian Burgess is still up for debate.
That could be a debate which you want to get involved in, Jacob. Is it? You've seen some of the criticism. Actually, one of the first correspondents we got in, good evening to Rob Murray, he said he wants to hear your thoughts on the Burgess criticism. Do you think it's justified?
No, I think it's a bit unfair, to be honest. You know, as Wayne was saying here, it was quite an unfortunate time to come on the pitch. It's quite hard to get into a game when you haven't been playing for so long. You know, Watmore and Clark have been brilliant at the back for us. So it's an unfortunate time, but yeah, it probably is his fault. But hopefully, you know, the fans get behind him and he can find his form, because it looks like Watmore could be out for a while.
But some of the fans on Twitter, honestly, look, I get you pay your money, you want to have your say. Yep, that's absolutely fine. But to tag him in some of the stuff you're tagging him,
it's
embarrassing, to be quite honest. So, you know, and fair play to some of you. I've seen there's a lot of Christian Burgess profile photos now. So it's a credit to you for fighting back. Speaking of fighting back, Wayne, that's exactly what the Blues did. And it's the two new recruits, James Vaughan finding Omar Bogle.
Combined, didn't they? Combined well. And when they came on in the second, when Vaughan came on in the second half, he really was getting involved, and you could tell they had that little bit of telepathy between them. They were combining quite well in the second half, and that second goal just wouldn't come, would it? And the longer that second half went on, it became more unlikely.
Jacob, as well, have you been impressed with? I guess it's difficult to say with James Vaughan. We only saw him for 45 minutes, although it was a 45 minutes where a change needed to be made. But Omar Bogle as well. That's, I guess, your first proper look at him live at Fratton.
They both look lively, got a lot of energy going forward. Vaughan and Bogle both can head the ball. We knew what they were like before. We've seen them at clubs like, you know, Grimsby and obviously Sunderland and Wigan for Vaughan. So hopefully, maybe a few more combinations down the line, and we can try and work better with them, and hopefully get a few more goals in the coming games.
Is it too early, gentlemen, to, I guess, analyse Kenny Jackett's transfer business, or at least the players which we've seen? Obviously, in the case of Lloyd Isgrove and Solomon, it's just a complete waste of time. But in terms of Omar Bogle, 2-2, you can't ask much more than that. Well, maybe scoring at the Fratton end in the first half.
Well, the new recruits haven't had much game time, have they, this year and this season? And Kenny said in his interviews last week that you've got to be very careful when you bring in the new players, especially those that haven't played much. Just bring them in gradually, you know, like 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, because they're prone to injury otherwise, playing for a whole 90 minutes. And towards the end of the game on Saturday, Bogo had to come off because his calves were giving him a bit of chip, so that's why he came off. No game time, you see. He's not particularly match fit.
I mean, Jacob, do you look at that as 1 point earned and you've stopped the rot and you've at least got yourself off losing ways, or is that really 2 points dropped? And if you are serious about going up, you've got to win those games.
Yeah, definitely 2 points dropped for me. I think if we want to make a statement and, you know, try and work for promotion, then we've got to win those type of games. Obviously, no disrespect to Doncaster, they're a good side, they look good on the attack, they're a big threat, but honestly I feel we should be putting teams like that away, especially with Vaughan and Bogle, you know, a good combination. Now we looked like we were going to get it, but unfortunately just didn't come.
Very good points, gentlemen. This isn't just for us three. If you want to get involved in the show tonight, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us for using @ExpressFM. We'll get to the first of those, which are flying in here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the second part on the Monday Night Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. Your hour of Pompey therapy, if you will, if you want to relive that on Saturday. We want to know your thoughts. We're looking at Pompey identity. Is there such a thing? Have we seen a Pompey identity under Kenny Jackett? There's a few mixed opinions out there. We'll get to those in just a sec. But if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, start your text message, word Express. Send it to 81400. Email studio@expressfm.com, tweet us @ExpressFM. They are the mediums for you to get in touch. This show, of course, as ever, driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. They are cheaper by the app. Download the Stagecoach mobile app and save on prices on bus travel. Search for the Stagecoach app in the App Store or Google Play, or whatever other phone you're using, whatever you use to download apps, that's where you find that. Wayne Harris, Jacob Wade, still alongside me in the studio for the next 40 minutes or so. So keep continuing to get all your texts, your tweets, your emails into us. It's a very busy show so far tonight. And we're talking Pompey identities here, Wayne. It's a very good article written by Jordan Cross, and he mentioned, you know, the bare facts are it's a result which sees the gap of the leaders grow 7 points. Barnsley moved above Kenny Jackett, and he talks about an identity crisis. Pompey's average identity has become a badge of honour this season. Supporters have lapped up the criticism as they nullify their opposition and eked out wins. However, this is, I guess, now average Pompey are beginning to stutter.
I think we are identifiable by our predictableness. I think that's not always a bad thing. I mean, maybe it's reflective on our results since January, second time around from the 23rd game onwards. Maybe sides are working us out, so we're a little bit too pragmatic, a little bit too predictable, and maybe sides are working us out, but it can work in our favour as well the second time around. We can work out the other sides as well. But 11 points from the last 30 available since Southend at home, and then them two wins against Sunderland and Fleetwood were against 10 men. So we are on a bad run of form, and Plymouth is a massive game for us.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that in the later on in the show, and it is a big, big game, as you say, as is the one on Tuesday night. Another one, of course, we'll be looking forward to. Jacob, I remember saying on Pompey Live, September 2017, when we were previewing the Fleetwood game, I said, I'm really struggling to see an identity. There's been three transfer windows since then. Kenny Jackett's had a year and a half to try and work with the players. Maybe this is just me being ultra hypercritical, but I still don't see any identity from this Pompey team. Am I just being blind?
Well, I do see an identity, whether it's expansive football, that's definitely a no. our identity probably is... People know we're a long ball team. They know what our tactics are. We're going to try and, you know, pin the big man straight away and push it out onto the wings. So, as Wayne said, they are finding us out, and we're just going to have to. I think we're going to have to change our style as we're going to go on to about about how we can work and break these teams down, really, because it's obviously not working since January.
I was speaking to a Pompey fan in the office today, Wayne, and we were talking about Stars of Football, and he hasn't seen much of this team in League One. It was very prominent going to League Two games, and he said, you know, he's been to a couple, and not one has he felt entertained. Do you put a lot of stock into that?
I wouldn't say our style is particularly entertaining, but it is effective, and it's proven to be effective between August and December. Between August and November, we were pretty much invincible. So it is an effective style of play, but on the flip side, it can have its downsides.
Jacob as well. I mean, I think I've said it before on this show that there is an argument to say that, you know, if you want to be entertained, go to the theatre, go to the cinema. That's where you're going to see entertainment. However, given at the style of football we played in League Two, I actually sign up to it and go, I could do with a bit more entertainment at Fratton. And again, am I misleading people?
No, you're not. Listen, last few games we haven't seen the entertaining side. We haven't been off our seats as much. Maybe to moan at the ref, but not anything else. So, yeah, it is long ball since Cook, as we said. But I don't really know what to say to him. There's not much to say on it.
Are you enjoying the football under?
I was at start. Listen, you enjoy it when you're winning, don't you?
Yeah.
And then since January, obviously we haven't been winning. The fans have been turning on the players. I always clap the players off after every game. I know they're going to work hard. I know you're not going to win every game, but yeah, you're right. It's not very entertaining.
Let's go to the text, tweets and emails. A very good evening to David listening in. David Cowplain, who says, just an opinion, but there have been so many matches where we've started slowly. I would go further than that and say until we go a goal behind, we generally always play too slow. Players like James Vaughan can only help with solving this, but the real problem seems to be in the midfield. We all know we've lost Ben Thompson, but as an example, he was a player who was very quick, very sharp, and this approach carried across to other players of the team and the tempo of our play increased. On the other hand, there's no direct criticism of Ben Close as a player. His style tends to slow the tempo down, and it can translate from that to a central position to the rest of the team. As a consequence, some of our passing looks lazy and laboured, and as a result we look predictable and are very easy to close down. And when a team gets closed down, the passing gets rushed, and the longer, the more inaccurate. Very good point there from David Cowplain. Good evening to Pompiazza, who says, I've placed a bet that Vaughan will score 12 plus goals before the end of the season. Stand to win big. It's a good bet. Good evening to Jeff Chesters, who says, Kenny in his interview said that it was an entertaining game. Sorry, it was not entertaining. Slow, slow, lump it, slow. It seems to be our pattern of play. Sorry, but the football under jacket is boring. Still, onwards, play up Pompey. Good evening to Mark listening in, who says, all this identity is a load of modern day football nonsense. Kenny has built a strong, solid team. Still think us or Barnsley for second place behind Luton. Some very interesting points in that, gentleman. I'll just go back to the email we had in from Dave in Cowplain, talking about, I guess, us being too slow, too predictable, and I guess just rushing things maybe a bit because we've slowed it so forward so down. Do you see that, Wayne?
We are a very cautious team, aren't we? And our midfield has become very cautious since Ben Thompson's gone back to Millwall. Ben Close, they call him the crab because he plays sideways quite a lot. But I actually thought Ben Close played well on Saturday. He had a chance there at the end in the second half. Yes, we are a very cautious team. We need to stop being cautious now because we need wins, don't we? Get back into the top two.
I mean, I would throw that, I guess, the Ben Close argument. It's one that I had it on earlier on in the season. I seem to be one of the few people in Portsmouth who would love to see Ben Close go on and play well. I mean, what side of the fence do you sit on there, Jacob? I mean, I do understand that people think he's slow. Like Dave and Cowplain, they're saying that, you know, he is slow. He's very methodical in what he does. But I think maybe actually we need someone with that composure in the middle of the field. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think he's really good at keeping the ball. Obviously, we can't push forward all the time. It is a bit side to side, as you said. But no, I do like him. I think he's coming along. He's coming along well. And you know, last few games we've seen him have a few chances here and there. So people saying that he's too slow and defensive, he has had a few chances. He's got himself into good positions. You see, against Sunderland, he had a chance saved to the right. He had a chance on Saturday, didn't he, that the keeper parried over. So I think it's just about working the system that works best for the midfield, really, because once we've got the midfield and the basis of that, then we can work forward and give the freedom that the attackers need.
Very good. Good evening to Alan Swift, who says that identity seems to have faded this half of the season. Boyle and Vaughan look very promising, so let's give them time. Stick to the 4-4-2 and play some passing play. No long balls. Cut them out. I welcome Morris back and the other new boy. Can't remember his name, so I don't know where he'll fit in. Let's hope for an upturn in form from Alan in Southsea. So there, all I've got time to read in this part of the show. If you do want to get involved and join us on the debate, you can do so. Start your text message word Express. Send it to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, or if you're sitting there on your phone, you're on Twitter and you want to get involved in the show, at expressfm is how all those messages come through to us. So that is the end of the second part of the Monday Night Football Hour. If you want to get involved, there are those are the contact details. We'll be talking about whole changes, I should say, ahead of the massive game against QPR and beyond to Plymouth in the league.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the Monday Night Football Hour on 93.7 Express FM. The stage, which, of course, as ever, is being driven to you by Stagecoach buses with depots all across the south in Chichester, right up to Winchester and all across the south coast. You can get anywhere with the Stagecoach buses app. Download that and get your cheapest tickets, your timetables and everything in between. Still talking Pompey here on the Monday Night Football Hour. There's about half an hour or so for you to get in touch if you want your views heard across the airways here. We're going to be now looking at wholesale changes, or if you do want to talk about the game on Saturday, or you want to talk about Pompey's style of play, Pompey identity, are you entertained with this kind of football? Does something need to change? You can get involved. Start your text message word Express. Send that to 81400. If you would like to send it by email, you can of course do that with finding us at studio@expressfm.com. If you're listening on Twitter and you want to get involved, at Express FM is where you can find us. So I guess, boys, what we got to say is, yes, Pompey are off the schneid, as it were. We've got back to at least getting a point and away from losing ways, Wayne. However, as we've discussed, it was probably 2 points dropped, so unless you look at it as 1 point earned. Kenny's been very consistent with who he plays. He's been very, consistent, I think, is the ideal word which I'm looking for. Is now the time to switch it up?
Well, the first half of the season, we were very injury-free. We were very suspension-free, so we had a very settled side. And most weeks, the team kind of picked itself. But since December, January time, that's changed, and we found ourselves with injuries. We found ourselves with our lone players being recalled back. You know, it's no secret we're missing Ben Thompson and even Andre Green. Going forward, we've got Tommy Naylor, who's apparently injured for the next couple of games, so he's going to be replaced by Bryn Morris, Andy Cannon, most probably, alongside Ben Close. I don't think Kenny will change the formation. I think he's in the mindset there, and he likes his 4-2-3-1. Jamal Lowe, Ronan Curtis have been very below par since January. Whether that has anything to do with their agents maybe unsettling them in the transfer window, perhaps. I have heard rumours about Curtis being linked with Championship clubs and Jamal Lowe.
Just make sure that one isn't Sky Sports. Yeah, it's funny how Sky Sports, the only clubs our players seem to be linked with is Leeds, Nottingham Forest, Middlesbrough. Oh, funny enough, they've got the biggest fan base going. So, it is a noticeable point. They have dropped off in January. I don't want to start questioning going down that line of attack. However, Jacob, it's been, I guess, noticeable, the drop-off in form of Lowe, of Curtis. Is now the time actually to make some changes?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of teams are predicting what they're going to do. A lot of the time, we don't vary up our wing play. It's a lot of time, get down the line, look, give it to Brown, give it to Thompson, give it to the wingers, and we'll try and get a ball in. We don't really play any like football right outside the area, like any intricate passes. Like, I think Dennis would be brilliant if he came in, because he can play them little nice passes over the top and play little 1-2s with the strikers, play off them and then maybe go out wide. So we need to vary up our attacking play a bit more. So yeah, I think it's time for a rest.
What would you do?
Put me on the spot there. I'll put Dennis behind the striker, and then I'll probably keep one of the two, so Lowell or Curtis, and maybe put Gareth Evans out wide. because obviously his delivery is brilliant. We've all seen his delivery, maybe not on Saturday, but his delivery is fantastic. And with a good striker, obviously we can get the balls in and finish them off.
Interesting, you bring about the delivery, Wayne. I'd have to actually have to say I probably tend to agree. I think our dead balls probably need to be worked on a lot, because I don't remember us really putting a dangerous ball into the box from I guess Dion Donoghue did it a couple of times, but outside of that, not much.
Well, that's probably why Dion Donoghue's in the side. He's in the side for his delivery from the left and from the right. He came off on Saturday with a stitches in his shin, so he's again doubtful for the Plymouth game, I hear. And Gareth Evans as well, we know about his delivery from both sides. And with the playing the one big man up front, the delivery is quite important, isn't it?
Let's go to some of the text, tweets and emails coming into us. A very good evening to Scott Turnbull, who says on the style of play, 100% style of play, this hoof ball is just not working. We are cutting out the midfield out of every game at the minute. Good evening to Pompey Sean, who says he disagrees with me and says, have we ever had a footballing identity that lasts beyond that current manager? We're currently an overachieving side playing a pragmatic style of football. A winning mentality can return after a win or two, but we've never had an identity, in my opinion, since Redknapp left. It's always been finding a way to win. We've never had an identity passed through managers and squads. Good evening to the Pompey Armed Forces Supporters Club. Again, if you are one of our tremendous ex-forces and you do support the Blues, get involved. They say up until recently we've had a winning mentality. Sadly, it's changed. We're capable of promotion, but I can't see a change of plan. We all hope Kenny Jackett does. Good evening to Steve Dines, who says, yes, 4-2-3-1 direct, relying on pace and trickery, two wide players and target men. Lots of running and a fair bit of game management, or careful there, may not be pretty, but to suggest no philosophy is completely wrong. Kenny Jackett knows how to get the best from a limited budget. So there's a few points to go on there. Some disagreeing. I guess Jacob, the big one from there, Scott Turnbull, saying we're cutting out the midfield, and I guess I would agree with him. Is it that he doesn't trust the midfield? For anyone that didn't see the Luton game, I thought all of our best opportunities started because of the composure of Donoghue and Naylor in the middle.
Yeah, I agree with Donoghue, not so much Naylor. That's because I feel like his role in there is just to sit and win every ball and then play out to a fullback. I don't see him as a forward passing player. A lot of the times when we've been on the counter attack and, you know, Naylor ends up with the ball, no disrespect to him, obviously he is a defender, as a defender midfielder, but he can't really play that final pass. So I agree with him on that sense. But yeah, we are missing the midfield. We're going straight over, and it's not working the last few weeks.
Good evening to John listening in Hillsey, who says, hi guys, we're having a bad run of form at the moment, but we mustn't be too negative. To have 58 points in 30 games is an outstanding performance from a young team. Luton are unbeaten in 18 games, so why are we always to be top of the league? Barnsley and Sunderland both have gains and strength and money from the Championship to compete with these teams. Pompey deserve a lot of credit. Good evening to John in Gosport, who said, I've liked Kenny Jackett's way of going about business from the start. It's a long term plan. I've no problem with that. However, as you well know, overcoming whatever problem he has with Pittman has cramped our style and stopped him getting the most out of his squad. I know at this point you'll be shouting that we've been top for 3 months, but in my opinion our home results have been better than our performances, so I'm not surprised we've been overtaken at the top. As I've said before, if our young wide men can't play Championship forward effectively, we're not really ready to play in the Championship. Mind you, I should be there next season whether or not we go up. Play up Pompey. Good point there from John in Gosport. Wayne, it is noticeable, I guess, one of the big things that Brett Pittman, the captain, left out of the 18.
That surprised me because I thought he would be at least on the bench, because he's played well at Luton. I thought he played well before that. I can't put my finger on Brett Pittman. I really can't, because our style of play hasn't really changed much from last season, and you've got 25 odd goals. What is it there with Brett Pittman? Maybe that's a debate.
I mean, it's an interesting one, and I'm only reading from outside and reading between the lines, but he must be frustrated, and it must be a frustrating time for him at the Pompey training ground, Jacob. But I mean, further to John's point there, I guess about the playoffs, considering the start we had, would you be happy if Pompey got into the playoffs? Would you see it as progress from last season?
100% progress, yeah. at the start of the season, if you said we're going to finish in the playoffs, I think every Pompey fan would love to hear that, and they definitely would take it. Obviously, we have been top for so long. Maybe you could have said we peaked too early with the system and we've been found out. But, yeah, definitely I'll take the playoffs, and hopefully we just keep up a decent, consistent run of form and just solidify that playoff first, and then hopefully go for the automatics.
Good evening as well to Pete listening in Fareham, who says, good evening, gentlemen. There was a lot of talk during the transfer window, much like Wayne's point, that the club's wanting to buy Lowe and Curtis. Do you think it's affected their performances? Wayne, we heard from you. You think it definitely did. Has the January transfer window affected some performances?
Potentially. It could have got to a few of the players' heads if they feel like they've been linked with a big club. But listen, we don't know. We don't know what's going on in their heads. Maybe they have been trying their hardest and they have been just unlucky. Maybe it's just an unlucky run of form. We don't know. We're going to have to see and try and deal with it and see how QPR and Plymouth, how that faces the boys.
Good evening to Paul Ellis, who says, at the start of the season, the Fratton pitch was a picture. We were playing some decent footballer, but over the last month, the pitch has really gone downhill. So do you think that's why we're just hoofing the ball and not playing the ball on the floor?
Oh, they're professional footballers. I don't think I don't think that's a reason at all. I think our style of play is very similar at home than it is away. And because we're so cautious, our away record is pretty good, isn't it? Well, until December, January. No, I'm not going to blame the pitch on that, James. No. Mm.
Well, everyone's blaming, you know, the pitch and the style of play in that at the moment. But we have to look at it. In the last few games, we've conceded quite a few goals, to be fair. And I wouldn't mind if we played this long ball and we were winning 1-0, 2-1, 2-0s. But we're not. We're still conceding more than a goal, really, apart from a few of the games. So maybe we need to get the whole team together and have a discussion and see how we can improve as a whole team performance.
Speaking of defence there, Jamie Spencer, who was on last week, he said, actually, do we need a defensive coach? Do we need someone to come in and sort that defence out? Because we are leaking goals like a bad tap at the minute. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no clean sheet since Southend at home on the 8th of December. So I think that speaks volumes. As far as defensive coaches are concerned, Stuart Pearce comes along every now and then. Be nice to see him on the training ground again. Because we are finding it hard to score goals, perhaps a clean sheet is required starting from this Saturday.
Yeah, I think everyone will take 1-0 if we sort out our defence, really. Maybe get Stuart Pearce down here on a permanent. that'd be brilliant. But no, listen, before December, no one was complaining. So there's obviously something there that the defence have had before where they can keep clean sheets. We've seen the amazing defensive performances where nothing's going in the goal. So we've just got to try and replicate that and try and find that form again. It's just about finding ways to find it again and hopefully solidify that back line.
And I'll just leave it this part on a point from Sarah Powers. She says, good evening, much prefer away matches. Feels as though the crowd are behind the team for the whole game, whatever the situation. Jacob nodding away there. Looking forward to QPR, can play with no pressure or expectation. Speaking of QPR, let's forget about the league. We'll focus on the FA Cup for the next 15 minutes on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Very good evening. Welcome back to the final part of the Monday Night Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. Driven to you as ever, Stagecoach Buses. If you want to see the latest bus times, you want to get around, get yourself a day rider. The cheapest place to do that is via the Stagecoach Bus app. You can find that on the App Store or the Google Play Store, wherever else you download your apps from. Now our attention turns to the massive FA Cup game tomorrow evening against QPR. It's, I guess, a bit of a free hit for the Blues, who go into it again at Loftus Road, travel to West London. It's not the furthest trip, Wayne. It's one that should be a cracking atmosphere with 3,000 or so travelling Blues fans.
Absolutely. I mean, if we replicate our performance in the first game against them, we have a great chance of at least not losing. The first half against QPR, I thought we were great. The second half, we got a goal and QPR woke up. But we all know away from home, we can be a very hard team to play against. I think the first goal on Tuesday will be quite important. What we don't want is to lose 4 or 5-0, because I think that will destroy our confidence going into the Saturday game against Plymouth.
I mean, from what I saw against QPR, I just don't see that result happening because I didn't think they were that good. Fingers crossed. Anyway, it's still the same side. Jacob, you'll be one of the many travelling Pompey contingent making the journey to West London. Obviously, other than extra time and penalties, otherwise you're looking at the watch and avoiding the last train. But are you going there in more hope than expectation, or actually are you pretty confident that the Blues could do a job on the Hoops?
No, I reckon we can pull it off. We're due a win, let's be honest. We've lost our last few games, and well, we obviously drawn our last two, one in the league and the cup, and it's a good chance also for the players who are here permanently and not on loan, because obviously the loan players can't feature because they got signed after the first game against QPR. So it's a good chance for the existing players to solidify their places and try and impress Jacket on quite a big stage, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's it's not an intimidating atmosphere. QPR, you're going to play in a lot worse than that. So it should be the stage set for a cracking Pompey performance. The big question going into the game is who replaces Ronan Curtis, who is out through suspension.
That's right. Louis Dennis, most probably.
Yep, Louis Dennis.
I was surprised he wasn't going in the 18 on Saturday. Louis Dennis played well in the first game against QPR. Chuck him in there on the left-hand side. And there will be changes because of the cup, because the players that are cup-tied. So I expect Ollie Hawkins up front. I don't actually know which players are cup-tied, if there's quite a few. So there probably will be two or three, maybe four changes from Saturday.
And you've been very impressed, Jacob, just speaking to you there, with Louis Dennis's performance in the first fourth round game. He obviously starts for you. Who starts up top? Does Brett Pittman come in from the shadows and starts against QPR?
Yes, I think, definitely. He's the best goal scorer we've got. He's the best goal scorer in the league. He knows how to do it against Championship teams. Let's put him up front. Dennis offers something different to the team. He can play them small passes to Pittman where he can latch onto him and finish. So why not go for it? We saw it in the first round when Dennis, done that little chip over the top. Pittman was unlucky with the finish. You know, 9 times out of 10 he finishes those. That's the one time he didn't. So, yeah, let's go for it and see how them two can get on.
I'm extremely jealous. I wish I put myself in the ballot now. selling it to me well, boys. Let's go. That's fine. Well, Chris in Italy says the hoofball bypass in the midfield does not work without Hawkins. He even could be easily isolated, and Brett does not stand a chance. He's not fast. Our hoofers are not accurate. Maybe Bogle could make some of them. Here in Italy, when we watch games, notably since Charlton, we joke about the man who never was. Think about the number of times the pass that, particularly on the left, goes over the attackers and defenders and lands close to the right hand side, the opponent's penalty area. Solution: get a player in that zone, collects the goal, and whoosh, goal to Pompey. Make the man who never was disappear. Can't predict QPR or Plymouth, but at least we are playing away from home. And there is a bit of that, Wayne. The side when I was growing up, the Pompey side who could never win away from home, suddenly we're desperate for them to play away from home.
That's right. And that just says it all about our style of play. We're a very defensive team, aren't we? Very pragmatic. And Kenny Jackett's well known for that. You ask Wolves fans, Millwall fans, Swansea fans. It's a very similar theme with Kenny Jackett. We're very, very cautious. He always talks about getting the first goal being so important. And I think that shows. And when we go behind in games, we do struggle to... I don't think we've won this season from going behind. Don't quote me on that. I think that may be true. the first goal, very important.
Well, we haven't gone in front many times. I think it's probably the answer to the question.
From December,
one down and had to fight our way back from it. Jacob, another one of the big questions is Jack Watmore, who's we'll find out today or tomorrow, more likely tomorrow when he goes for a scan and sees the specialist on that. Fingers crossed it is just a strain. Otherwise, you dread to think what. Anyway, we'll worry about that when we get to it. Who plays centre-half? Yes, it may sound like a ridiculous question, but Ollie Hawkins can play there. He grew up in West London. He's going to be right up for this. Do you stick him at centre-half?
Why not? He's a good option. We saw him there last year, a few games. He played well, surprisingly, everyone thinking he's a striker. But with the Burgess thing, we can play him if we want. He's a good player. We've just got to give him confidence, and it's an away game as well, so not as much pressure. When he comes on the pitch, there won't be all the murmurs from the crowd as he comes on, because there'll be a big following away, and we'll all support him, of course, if he does start. And I think he can be good tomorrow.
I mean, this is probably a question for another football hour, but it's why is there such a contrast in home fans to away fans? Why is, if Christian Burgess makes that mistake at QPR on Tuesday night, I don't think he gets any of what's been going on. But at home, it's a completely different story.
Pompey fans expect, don't they? Particularly that when they're en masse, let's say 17,000, 18,000 away from home. Pompey have been great, supporting wise, probably since the 15-16 season. Great support. Every club that they visited always get great feedback about Pompey fans.
Mm.
Yeah, Ollie Hawkins at centre half against QPR. I don't think so. He's playing against a Championship team, Championship attackers. I think it'd be a bit too much for him. Put Burgess in there.
That's it's a very good, and we'll find out tomorrow at 7:45 when Kenny Jackett's team take on QPR. Game, of course, you can hear live on 93.7 Express FM. I thought the QPR, they're very toothless. They were quite quick, although they didn't create much. Jacob, Matt Clark again, and he's always turned up in the FA Cup games. He's turned up all season, actually. And Pompey, to their credit, every FA Cup game we've, you know, against Norwich, higher opposition, Pompey turned up, played a ball on the floor, got the result. QPR, unlucky to not get a result, but they played the ball on the floor. They look good. Do you expect the same again, or are we going to be talking about style of football on Thursday night?
No, I expect the same. I expect us to start high energy, go at them, because why not? There's no fear for a big cup game. We're not expected to go through, are we? We're the underdogs. Unlike,
well, this is when Pompey are... No. I agree with you. I think you're spot on. And it's we love being the underdog. There's no two ways about it.
That's when the fans properly get with the boys, and it'll be interesting to see how we do play in that game, yeah.
I guess we should look forward to Saturday as well, and attention turns to the league. And as we discussed in the break, there's no Tom Naylor now for two games. How big a miss could he be, Wayne, on Saturday against Plymouth?
I think he will be a miss, yeah, because for the vast majority of the season he's been a rock in the midfield there, hasn't he? Did Ben Thompson make him look better than he was? No, I don't think so. I thought Tom Naylor, since August... between August and I think and December as well. I think on Saturday he had one of his poorer games. I think he was giving the ball away 6 or 7 times in the midfield. Who will replace Tom Naylor? Probably Andy Cannon or Bryn Morris. But that's Saturday, Tuesday he can play.
I mean, it's you mentioned Saturday, Tuesday. Are you worried about the build-up of games that the Blues have got, or actually are we just reading far too much into it?
I think we are reading a bit too much into it, because now we've got a lot of signings, haven't we? We've got a big squad, much bigger than what it was. I'd say much bigger. Probably about 5 in and 5 out, weren't there?
Yeah.
But we've got more attacking options, so
yeah.
I think that Gareth Evans, we saw he's getting quite tired lately, didn't we? So we can make a few rotations in there. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, are you going to be one of the travelling contingent going to Plymouth?
No. Done it for the last 2 years. So.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you from having a week off, but... Are you worried about that? That if we don't get a result there, are you hitting panic stations?
No, I'm not. I'm always positive. I think Plymouth, we see Plymouth, they're doing well. Like they always do it. They always start off poorly and they come up and they start playing well, playing good football. So it's set up to be a big tie, isn't it, really? Their fans are obviously going to turn up for us. And so our
it's the only time they do turn
exactly.
up, in fairness.
So yeah, it's going to be a tight game no matter what, but no, we definitely have the quality to beat them. I think we can do a job on them.
Wayne, a game you're confident about on Saturday?
Yeah, I fancy us on Saturday. I think it'll be a sneaker 1-0 win. Like I say, a clean sheet, very important, and I think Saturday is a great opportunity to get that clean sheet. We do one 8th of December. 8th of December, it's like 2 months, it's a clean sheet.
Right, let's say, Jacob, you're right, Brett Pittman starts up front against QPR on Saturday. He scores, Pompey go through. Does he start against Plymouth on Saturday?
Yep, definitely. I think he's a big game player. He does Wigan last year, performed in a big game. He's got the eye for goal, we all know that. And if he has a good game tomorrow, then that could be what we need. I know we've signed a lot of strikers, but if he does get one or two, he can drive on then.
Omar Bogle, 2 goals in 2 league games. I think it'd be a little bit foolish to drop him for the Plymouth game on that record. But definitely, yeah, put Brett Pittman on the bench, depending on how he gets on Tuesday. We've got riches, haven't we? But you know, we've got Hawkins now, Pittman, Bogle, Vaughan. You know,
yeah, there's options.
It's the riches now for Pompey.
So, of course, that is a game you can hear on 93.7 Express FM. If you want to listen to Jake for a full build-up of that, it's Friday 6-7. Also, head to our website to re-listen to that Eric Eisen and Andy Redman interview, which is live up there for your listening pleasure, gentlemen. If I may. Could I push you for a score prediction for tomorrow night? Will Pompey advance? Will it be through extra time? Will it go to penalties? Wayne, your thoughts?
I think 1-1, 90 minutes, extra time. I think their fitness might win the day. I think 2-1 loss after extra time.
1-0 Brett Pittman because I've got to get the train on.
You're praying for that. That could be worth a few quid as well. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Monday Football Hour. Thank you so much for joining us as ever, and we hope to see you again soon here at Express FM. That's all for tonight's show. Many thanks for all your interaction as ever, all your texts, your tweets, your emails. They are appreciated as ever. The Football Hour returns live on Thursday, where we'll be joined by another Pompey player as yet to be announced. However, we'll get to the bottom of that and announce that when we can. Pompey Live returns tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 93.7 Express FM, as the Blues travel, like Jake, to West London as the Blues take on QPR at Loftus Road. Get tuned in as ever. I follow Pompey as well if you want to listen to the game. Jake will return on Friday for the Friday Football Hour with a build-up, the best build-up on the dial to that game against Plymouth. So it's been a pleasure speaking to you this evening. Enjoy your evening tomorrow, wherever you're listening to the game, wherever you're watching the game. That's it from us, and play up Pompey.